Hey, this is Elaine Kazaya, and you're listening to the Get Messy podcast.
Gotta get messy and show the world you're growing as an artist, and you're free to be yourself. You got a dream, you need to start it. Stick together. Get Messy says you're formally invited to a community where you can find people that spark the feel of excitement. Too many art supplies, not enough time. No, it's tougher, so you must find a way to feel some connection. We got a lot of people with the same kind, a great mind. We're here for you, a platform so we can hear your views. Time's yours, forget chores. I know you bored of them same rules.
Oh man, I'm so excited for you to listen to this episode. It's with the incredible Elaine from Joybook. She is a fantastic human. All I want to do with my life is talk to her. And we had a workshop for Get Messy that we held. The workshop was live and free during COVID time, all about journaling. Now that recording is inside of Get Messy and it's also inside of Joybook. But since then, I've just wanted to get her on the podcast because this woman is wise, let me tell you. So Elaine teaches journaling and she teaches other soulful approaches to managing time and life. She's an award-winning trainer, a life coach, and a big-hearted advocate for the meaningful work of listening to your own soul. At the beginning of this year, she launched Joybook, which is a life learning community offering online courses, journaling prompts, and support related to time management, personal growth, and well-being. So Elaine is really good if you want to dig into your journaling, if you want to dig into your own inner voice and kind of just give yourself a platform for yourself and make yourself value, give yourself back that value and all of that. Elaine's motto is life is beautiful. Don't miss it. I'm so excited for you to listen to this podcast. Elaine is incredible. You're going to love it. Welcome to the podcast, Elaine.
Thanks, Kaylee. It's really good to be with you. I've been really looking forward to this conversation.
This is such a long time coming. I feel like I've been dreaming of this moment for months and months and months, and it's finally here.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, it was a while. It was a good while back when you first mentioned this to me that maybe at some point.
Yeah, so Elaine and I did a workshop with through Get Messy, and we opened it to everyone, and you just rocked everyone's socks.
Aww.
And so with that introduction, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about you.
Sure. So I'm located in Richmond, Virginia, in the U.S., and I run a community, much like Get Messy. I run a community called Joybook that's about using journaling and other kinds of soulful approaches to managing your time and your life and creating a beautiful life, whatever that that means for each person. But kind of a core idea behind Joybook is that, in order to have a good life, you need to be in connection with yourself and listening to yourself. So that's why journaling is so important for that. So Joybook takes up most of my time and attention right now, but I also, I'm a life coach. And so I see individual coaching clients via Zoom these days. and do the occasional workshop, although those are also via Zoom these days. And I am not what most people would call an artist. but I do like to think I have sort of an artist soul, and which is perhaps why I feel so drawn to the Get Messy community and the people who hang out here. Yeah, I'm a very visual person. And in fact, I think Joybook kind of scratches that itch for me because I get to create pretty things in addition to creating the workshops and journaling prompts and things like that. And I minored in art in college, actually. So way in my past, there are a lot of pastels and paintbrushes and things like that. But these days it's my journal that gets most of my creative energy and creating things to support my community.
Oh, creating things to support your community. That's a beautiful way of looking at it. I don't know. I feel like you are 100% an artist purely because you're creating. You might not be using traditional artistic materials like paint and more paint. But you're creating something with your words and with your thoughts and with your truth, your own heart, which is something magical. And that's why I knew you were the perfect person for the workshop, because so many Messians were saying, okay, I've kind of got the art part of art journaling down. I need some guidance on the actual journaling. And I know for me, that's been one of my biggest struggles. My whole life, I wanted to keep a journal. That was always my goal. And I never could. And I think so art journaling filled that for me. And that was me being okay with writing down one sentence and that being enough journaling, you know? So What is enough journaling for you each day?
you know, my answer to that has changed over time. You know, like I used to think it's not journaling if I don't sit down and give it like at least 20 minutes of like deep kind of pouring my heart out on the page. But like one of the things that we do in Joybook is we've got like super short calls in the morning where a few of us will get together and journal together. And I've got these little morning prompts, and it's been kind of astonishing to me that like 3 minutes of journaling can actually have a huge impact on my day. So it's like, you know, I think of it as like creating this, like just creating a little opening, a little space, as I'm starting my day, where like inside that space, I can make contact with myself. And that those few minutes of contact are a way of accessing a source, like a piece of wisdom that that can set me on the right path. That said, so 3 minutes is enough. But, you know, like sometimes I really crave like an hour with my with my journal to like to go deep with one, you know, with one particular topic. So, you know, I think the answer to that kind of depends on what I need from it, what I'm looking for from it. And I, you know, I think of journaling as like kind of a Swiss Army knife. It can do so many different things for you. But one of those tools that I flip out pretty much every day is the short, like getting my head on straight, kind of orienting to my day in a way that feels wise and helpful and allows me to set an intention that serves me as I go through the day.
So how do you find out what that intention is? What is it that it's serving? Do you know what you need it to do, or do you kind of come there without expectations and then it just gives you what you need?
Okay. So like one of the ways that I define journaling is, so I like to make a distinguish between, and this is my definition, but I like to distinguish between, you know, there are a lot of different tools that, that involve writing to help you think or get clarity on things. So, you know, like using a planner or, keeping a diary, although I know that's a that's an American term. In some places of the world, a diary is what we would call a planner here. But like a diary, the way I define that is that it's kind of looking back at your life, like recording recording things that have happened in the past. And a planner is about kind of looking forward. And I think about a journal as being really kind of rooted in the present moment. But it's rooted in the present moment, but it's got like one foot in the past and one foot in the future. So to answer your question about like, how do you find that intention? For me, it's really about coming fully into the present moment and fully into contact with myself and doing this deep inner listening. And like listening is really a key word for me when I think about journaling. It's, you know, like quieting myself, being right here, tuning in inside, and just kind of seeing like what's here right now, what's going on right now. And what's that telling me about what I need? And so that's where the intention comes from. And so like, for instance, some of those quick morning journaling prompts that we do on Joybook, involve kind of, taking a moment to first check in with yourself and kind of notice, okay, in what's going on in my body, what's going on with my heart, what things are on my mind right now, and even kind of spiritually, like what's my state of being right now. And then thinking about, okay, that's where I am right now. And then doing a scan of kind of the landscape of the day ahead. And then given those two things, here's who I am in this moment, in this, as I start this day, here's what I know is ahead of me. Okay. Now let me just invite a word or a phrase that bubbles up as a helpful intention about, okay, these are the facts. So what would be the wisest way to approach this day, or a helpful intention to keep in mind as I move through this day? Given.
Do you a reflection then on your day too?
Often, yeah. And we used to do that in Joybook, and it was just hard to schedule it. But yes, at the end of the day, kind of my three go-to questions that I'll use, and sometimes I'll do something a little different. But my three go-to questions are about what wins am I celebrating from today? What is today teaching me about how to live tomorrow? And then just capturing a few kind of snapshots of moments from the day that I call them beautiful life moments. Someone else might call them gratitudes, but you know, just like little snapshots of, gosh, that made today beautiful, and I want to pay attention to it and get good at noticing those kinds of things going forward.
Yeah, I know for me, gratitude has been such a good tool in my arsenal for just staying grounded and for keeping depression at bay and all of those things. So I want to ask you, because I get my husband to write gratitude lists each week, and I do them too, and ours are very different. So how small do you go with your gratitudes?
I go small and big.
Okay.
I mean, like, tell me about, are you willing to give me an example of the range between the two of you?
Yeah, so I don't know, for example, T's might be, oh, he ran a marathon this week. And mine would be like, the flower outside our house was very pretty. It was very pink today.
So his gratitude would actually go on my list of wins. That's what, okay. That's what I would count as kind of a win for the day or for the week. And what you're describing is more like my beautiful life moments. So yeah, it'll be like standing outside and listening to the nut hatches in the trees, or the color of the sky this morning, or laughing with my husband.
I'm going to tell him that his is wrong, that a German expert says
no,
his is wrong.
I don't say it's wrong. I don't say it's wrong at all. I'm not sure that either of my lists are, you know, like necessarily fall squarely in the box of gratitudes, but that's just, you know, like, all three of those things that I reflect on actually make me feel grateful for my life. So they're just kind of different lenses on that topic in a way.
So tell me, what has been the number one thing that you have gotten out of life from journaling, directly from journaling?
That is a very hard question because I've gotten so many things out of it.
You can tell me three if you want.
Well, probably the one I mention most often to my, this comes up a lot with my coaching clients, is it has helped me get so good at how I talk to myself.
Ooh.
You know, because a lot of us can be so nice to other people, so kind to other people, and so unkind with ourselves in the way that we talk to ourselves. And, you know, I'm not fully sure how this shift... it's something I've been thinking about a lot lately, and I probably need to go back and start reading my journals from like 20 years ago to figure out how this shift happened. But somewhere along the way, the journal entries started being less about like, I feel this way, I think that way, I'm struggling with this, I wish, I. And there started being a whole lot more you in my journals. So like me talking to myself, and actually maybe, now that I'm talking out loud about this, maybe part of it has to do with, this idea that I picked up years ago from, I'm not even sure where, but this idea that we each have a wise self within us. And so we talk about this a lot on Joy Book, and use it often in our journaling, drawing on that wise self and inviting that wise self to speak in the journal. And so I think probably what happened for me as I started inviting that part of myself into my journal, it started to be her talking to me, whoever me is, you know, kind of everyday Elaine. And so the language in the journal was much more, like, sweetheart, it's okay. Like, take a moment to step back and, you know, like offering myself loving advice and reassurance, and kindness. And I really think that practicing that on a regular basis in my journal started leaking into just the way I talk to myself. as I'm going about my day, and I'm way kinder to myself now than I was 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's amazing. I've been doing some thought work and working with a life coach, and I've been processing everything through journaling without the art, which has been interesting for me. And yeah, I definitely agree with that, with being kind to yourself and treating yourself like you would a friend, because it's crazy how we just don't do that. I think with artists, there's a very big voice in the back of our head that's the inner critic, always going, why are you doing this? Why? You can't do anything. Look how bad you are. You know, like that whole dialogue that keeps going. And I think the more we practice speaking gently to ourselves and speaking to us like a friend, like you were saying, the more that inner critic, like that voice is still there, but you're able to go, like you're able to have your own inner cheerleader too. And so she's kind of looking at the art, and you're able to look at it with a holistic view and a more objective view and a kind of view, which inevitably makes better art.
Yes.
So tell me, do you include, I mean, I'm just like, I just love digging into this, because I feel like with art journaling, I'm only scratching the surface of journaling. And I've noticed its power already. And so do you ever include other people's words? Like, do you ever keep it as somewhat of a commonplace book where you store what you've learned or what you've heard, that kind of thing?
Well, first off, I should say I have two different journals. I have my my bullet journal and what I call my deep dive journal. And like those daily reflections that we were talking about mostly go in my bullet journal. And when I do come across quotes or words like that, like what you're talking about, I usually tuck those into my bullet journal. But that said, I've had some really powerful rites that are around using someone else's words as a jumping off point with my deeper dive journaling. So like, you know, a particular poem that is really speaking to me. Like I'll write that first in my journal. And I have to say, it's really kind of astonished me that like just the act of kind of mindfully writing a poem that really touches you, like in itself feels like a practice. I'm not sure if I would call that journaling or not. It doesn't matter what I call it. or what you call it, you know, like if it does something useful for you, then hooray. But I have noticed that like just the writing of the poem itself, can take me somewhere, deeper. But that's not where I would stop usually. Like I write it down and then use it kind of as a springboard, you know, like it again, pausing and doing that inner listening and noticing, you know, what's really resonating about this for me. And why do I think that is, or what feelings does it bring up and what are those feelings telling me? So this is something that I've discovered more recently with journaling is like journaling doesn't have to be just, and probably you and the Messians absolutely know this, that it doesn't just have to be, you know, written words on a page, like paragraphs, full sentences. I've started using more and more mind mapping.
Ooh.
in my journaling. So I might, you know, if I'm starting with a poem, I might put like the title of the poem or a phrase from the poem that really grabbed me kind of in the center of my mind map. And then just start drawing out connections. Okay. Like what does this bring up for me? You know, sort of answering those questions I was just mentioning. And like one of the things that I've, one of the ways that I've come to approach journaling for myself for these deeper dives, not those like 3-minute writes that we were talking about before. But I generally think about journaling as not being you sit down, you write a journal entry, but really that it has sort of phases to the write. And so I've really started the last 5 years, started really leaning into that. And so I very much think in terms of the program that I did for Messians, we absolutely structured it this way. There was sort of a warm-up write, and then there was a deeper dive. So often I'll use mind mapping just to kind of like get myself rolling, really dig in with the topic or discover like, what do I think about this, or uncover the questions that I really want to spend some time with. And that feels like a very get messy kind of approach actually, because it's just this like, you know, like, don't be perfect. Although I don't think you should be perfect about any journaling period, but you know, like, be messy, just like throw it on the page, see what emerges, and then start working with that.
Yeah, it's so funny because I've been thinking about this a lot lately too. I think I've got this idea in my head that when I come to the art journal, there's a ritual, you know, I light a candle, I put some sage or something, and I put an art apron on, and then I create. And I know for a lot of people, that's what it's like. And it is like a holy ritual. But for me, it's not like that. I think for me, it's like, I like using this analogy, so bear with me. Mm-hmm. I just throw up everywhere. And then I kind of just like collect these little pieces and then bring those little pieces into my journal. And so I've kind of embraced, you know, making a voice note while I'm driving or taking a screenshot of something that I want to explore more deeply, and then getting all those inboxes and bring them all together and putting them down when I am ready to take some time to create something in my journal. So I think there's definitely something to be said for going against what we typically believe to be the right way to do something, and to just, instead of revolving our life around the art and around, I mean, journaling is art, but kind of just having the art fit in where it can, and to take those tiny bits of time and then when we do have time later, we're able to process everything properly and think through it. Elaine, like, I could never sit and just journal. I've tried for like 30 whatever years I am, minus 10 since I've like been a little girl, to just try and write and write. And so for me, art journaling has been the way that I get that feeling that I want to get from journaling. And I think it's really inspiring to do what suits you, and to do what you're able to and what makes sense to you, and also what you're able to do consistently instead of trying to fit into a certain block. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a little hung up on something that you just said though, because it made me so curious. And you were saying that what you want from journaling, you can't get without art journaling. And it made me so curious about, like, for you, what, like, how would you capture, like, what is it that you're trying to get from journaling?
I like that question a lot. And I think it's something that everyone should ask themselves. And definitely to everyone listening, you should ask yourself what you're trying to get and then kind of reverse engineer. I think for me, what I'm trying to get from my art journal is what's going on in my head. So firstly, it's just to get everything out. And so, I mean, sometimes it is something like morning pages, where it would be stream of conscious writing. And then just that irritates me so much that I just need to paint over it for whatever reason. I don't know. That makes me feel better. But there's also something like meditative about, I mean, the art that I create is not very in depth or very technical. It's basically just me tearing up a bunch of paper and putting it onto the page. And there's something there, something that happens there that I don't have words for. I wouldn't be able to write it down. So I don't, yeah. And then I can't like put it into words what just tearing a piece of paper does. And I think it also goes back to, you know, the fact that I've been, for the past few years, I've been living in a language that's not my own. And so I'm struggling a lot with English and having a million different languages going in my head. And I feel like art and paint, no matter how badly it's done, I'm able to say what I need to say without having to say it.
Yeah, that actually really resonates for me, because one of the experiences that I've had with my journaling that's really striking for me is this awareness that, so I actually love to play with imagery in my writing, like metaphor, images. A favorite write that I'll come back to again and again is about like kind of thinking of my life as a landscape and you know, like standing here and asking myself, okay, looking back at the territory that I've just been through, what does it look like? And just, you know, writing a description of that imagery and then, okay, turning and looking at the path ahead. What's this landscape that my subconscious is envisioning as it, you know, sort of comes up with a symbolic way of thinking about what's ahead. But one of the things that I've noticed in the writing is that sometimes that visual imagery, which for me is captured in words most of the time, that visual imagery can impact me, move me, inspire me in ways that just like very literal words can't. And, you know, I think part of it's that it gives you this kind of touchstone in a way, or for me, that's my experience, you know, like if it's a page full of words talking about how I feel, what I think, what's next, it's not as easy to kind of like put in my pocket and take with me as an image of, okay, I see this, this rocky landscape ahead, but there's this beautiful sunrise. And I'm aiming for the sunrise, you know, or whatever the imagery is, but like that is, you know, in an instant, is something I can access and something that moves me. So I don't know if that's, I mean, I hear you talking about something that's in a way like very kinesthetic, the ripping of paper and the touching and it almost sounds like there's something cathartic about that for you. But I felt like there was a similarity in some ways between what you were saying and that experience that I've had of, you know, even though I'm using words, there's something very symbolic and visual about some of the writing that really sticks with me.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I think maybe the difference is that you're seeing it in your head. And for me, when I art journal, I'm not seeing it in my head at all. I kind of figure it out as I go along. Mm-hmm. And the way that I create also different, like I'm different to everyone else. But the way I create is I kind of figure out what I need to say.
So as you're going along, you figure out?
Yeah, which I'm sure is the same with journaling too.
Yeah, yeah.
So interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of feels like for me that my inner process is as I'm writing, if it's the kind of writing that's like trying to figure something out or figure out how I feel about something, that the inner process is kind of, all right, what's the question? Or what's this thing I'm trying to access. Okay, let me sit with that, create this little pause, listen inward, see what comes up, capture that on the page. And then this thing that I've just put on the page is like then this springboard to kind of the next question. So, you know, like maybe I'll be writing something down that just came from my heart as I've been looking inward. And I'll feel like tears starting to prickle in my eyes. And so then I'll write down, wow, I'm like something about this is is bringing up tears. What's that about? And then I'll pause and look inward again and listen and see what the answer is. And so it feels like, I don't know, like these little stepping stones kind of. Is that anything similar to yours, or is yours more just kind of messy organic?
I wish I could say that it was messy organic. I feel like to me that feels like true artist if things are just like chaotic. I don't work that way. So I'm finding like I'm relating a lot to the way you do it. And also where it is also like, oh, whoa, what's that? Where did that come from? And they're trying to figure out. Oh, okay. And then as it goes through, or you might journal something and then weeks later you go, oh, that's what that was about. Uh-huh. Like, and I like the idea of having a wise self because now I can be like, oh, yeah, my wise self told me that already. That, like, now I'm really catching on. Great.
Yeah. I feel so much gratitude to my wise self. Like even right now, it makes me tear up. And, you know, the way I conceptualize the wise self is, and sometimes, you know, like sometimes I do kind of conjure an image and it's this, you know, like much older, you know, like 40 years in the future version of myself, 90-year-old Elaine. But absolutely the way I think of my wise self is not only, you know, like someone who has a lot of wisdom about how to be and how to live and how to take the things that come at you with grace. But also as this very like loving, almost sort of motherly in a way, kind of presence that's there within me if I just access it. It's been such a gift.
It is. And I mean, you created that for yourself. We create this gift for ourselves. It's like this ridiculous loop, right? Something that my life coach, I love her. I feel like I'm always always talking about her. But something she said that so resonated with me is that instead of like learning from your past, you can learn from your future. And so maybe that's what the wise self is you're drawing from your future knowledge and your future wisdom. And that was revolutionary for me.
Yeah. There some of the journaling prompts that I love working with are kind of along those lines. So like even one of the short ones we sometimes use in the morning is imagine that you've already lived this day. And now you have a chance to live it over again.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give yourself? Like what advice would future you give you about how to live this day?
That's a good prompt.
Or, there's one that I like to do, like kind of as I'm bringing a month to a close too, is, like current self talking to self of a month ago and then current self talking to self of 1 month from now and asking for advice about how to approach the coming month. So yeah, it's fun to play with time.
It is. Yeah. Whenever I get stuck in my journaling, I like to use the prompt, just she. And so, you know, being objective about yourself is just so helpful at seeing your current, what's happening currently, your current truths, your current space that you're occupying, your season that you're occupying. Because it's hard sometimes talking about ourselves, I think, especially as women, we're always told, you know, keep your opinion down. Like you shouldn't be great. You shouldn't be this. You shouldn't be that. And we kind of question our own intuition and ourselves, and kind of seeing ourselves as a separate being is so helpful at realizing, hey, we know what we're talking about. We know what we want.
Like really, actually intentionally playing with, I guess, grammatical perspective or point of view would be the official term for that. So just like I was saying before about how my journaling used to be all this I, and now there's a whole lot more you, and how powerful it can be to play with switching those pronouns. Same thing with the third person, you know, switching to she. Whoever's listening, I'm probably completely overwhelming them with all these like ideas for prompts. But another one that I love doing in the morning is, or actually not just in the morning, anytime, but is about like writing about yourself as if you're like kind of the main character in a novel or something. And I always say to my joy bookers when we're doing this, this is not a tragic novel. Like this is, we like the main character and and she's living a good life and going to be successful. So not a tragic novel, but like writing about myself, yeah, like almost as if I'm writing a novel. So, you know, Elaine looked up from her desk and the morning light made her blah, 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 blah.
Wow.
it's kind of amazing, isn't it? How different, like the new perspectives, or just new sense of perspectives, like to be able to back off a little bit and not be so like kind of stuck in the details of your day-to-day experience and be able to see it with a new vantage point.
Mm.
It's really, yeah, I'm so with you on the she.
Yeah. And I think, yeah, to the person listening, it's great to have a whole bunch of prompts. And I mean, all you're doing is adding tools to the arsenal that they can carry with them when they come to their journal, whether in art or pure writing.
Yeah, I think one of the things when people are newer to journaling, or when they come to me and tell me that they feel stuck with their journaling, I feel like prompts are important, are really, really useful, but I mean that in a really broad sense. And I've totally encountered people who are like, oh, I never write with prompts. And great. But I do think in order to get what you need from your journaling, you need to come to it with some kind of intention. And people struggle when they, show up to their journal, they open their page, and then they go, okay, I'm supposed to write now. what do I write about? and I forget what it was that you said, but something you just said made me so attuned to the fact that that's something I've learned is really important. Start with an intention, and that intention can be a prompt. You just need something that points you in a direction, and you can totally change direction once you get rolling. that's what happens when you're listening to your inner self. Your inner self might go, this is not helpful. There's this thing sitting over here that really needs my attention. But the starting, you need a direction to move in order to start. On Joybook, I've got this, this big library of journaling prompts that's, one way of doing that. But it can be, you don't have to necessarily have specific prompts that you're using, but you do need, as you're starting your write, to know why am I here? Mm-hmm. And so what does that mean in terms of where I go from here? And so, if you don't have a prompt in front of you, just that inner listening itself can be the prompt in a way. I would bet in a way, when you do your morning pages, that's part of what happens when you start. There's this moment of, okay, what's in here? and it can be, the write can be, let me just capture what's in here. For me, more often it's, okay, what's in here? All right, then what do I need from my journaling, given what I just found, given where I am right now?
That is so, so valuable and so helpful. And I think so often my morning pages are, I just start by writing, I have nothing to say. and then I'll write, maybe I'll write, I really have nothing to say. And then obviously that's never how it ends. Right. And so I continually come to my journal where I'm like, there's nothing inside here. Don't worry about it. We can try again tomorrow. And I'm just lying to myself completely. I want to know, okay, so these morning things that you do in Joybook. Uh-huh. And I know it sounds ridiculous that I'm asking you this, but how do you guys journal together? How does that work? I know Get Messy, we art journal all the time together, but journaling seems so vulnerable and personal. How does it work? What's the setup?
So pretty much any of the journaling on Joy Book, and some of it, you know, like goes a lot deeper than that. Like this weekend, we're about to tomorrow, we're about to start an 8-week series of like 90-minute sessions inspired by poet Ross Gay's Book of Delights. So each week we're going to be journaling about delight. So, you know, sometimes it's 90-minute sessions, similar to what I did on Get Messy. Sometimes the journaling is in the middle of a group coaching session. The way it works with the group coaching is people do some reflection prior to the session, and they send me their answers to a few questions, and then I come with a little bit of a teaching around a common theme that I've spotted in the answers, and then offer some journaling questions for people to write about in reflection to that, in a way to sort of coach themselves around that theme. But whether it's, you know, like kind of a medium-sized write in the middle of a group coaching session, a 3-minute write in the morning, or a couple of deeper dives as part of a 90-minute session. Usually the way it works is we show up, we touch base a little bit, and often at the beginning of the sessions, I'll try to kind of prime people for their writing by having us do a little check-in. So, and again, this is something I did in the Get Messy session, like just take a moment to check in with yourself, notice your state of being in this moment, and then think about a word or a phrase that captures your state of being in this moment, or begins to capture your state of being in this moment. And that's a way of just like, you know, kind of, I don't know, sort of opening the channel, making contact with yourself. And so then we'll usually do kind of a verbal check-in, just sharing that word or phrase. So it's, you know, not a whole lot of self-disclosure, but just a word or a phrase. And then I offer the prompt, set a timer for however long we're going to write. We write until the chime sounds. And then there's an opportunity for people, if they want to share a little bit about what, either what came up when they were writing, or what the process of writing was like for them. And that's it. So it's often we end up having some really beautiful conversations about the things that came up. And, you know, one of the things that's so inspiring about it, or moving about it, is that, you know, like we're all human. We all wrestle with the same stuff. You know, like we all have the same fundamental hopes and longings, and, you know, for connection and love, and to be able to feel good about our lives. And, so the writing itself, we're each doing our own thing, you know, and I actually ask people not to read from their journals. And I think we had this conversation in the Get Messy workshop I did, because you don't want to get into a frame of mind where you're actually writing for an audience rather than being just fully authentic with yourself. And then when it comes to the sharing, it is just a verbal reflection on the writing that you just did. But, you know, you decide what you want to share or what you don't. And I don't know, does that Does that give you a picture of...
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. I think when people are connecting so deeply with their own hearts and coming together and sharing and being vulnerable, there's so much, I don't know, there's not really another word for it. There's just magic that happens when there's heart and vulnerability and true connection and people just being raw with each other and being allowing themselves to be seen and to see others. Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, it is really beautiful. This is something that, like, 20 years ago, I would have not, I was not aware of about journaling. But, maybe 12 years ago, I started regularly journaling in the mornings a couple of days a week with a friend, just the two of us meeting in a cafe, picking a topic or a theme, and writing and then debriefing, like the same way that we do now on Joybook. And then I think it was 6 or 7 years ago, I started leading a journaling group once a month, where people come together to, you know, do the same kind of thing that we're talking about, write in response to some prompts or ideas, images, whatever, that I offer, and then debrief it like that. And so I've come to realize that, journaling on my own is a tool I use a lot. It's really important to me, but I've come to think of it as a very social thing in a way. And I can't fully explain it, but there is something magical about writing in the presence of other people. And maybe it works the same way with art and art journaling, but there's just like this energy and not always, but often my juiciest writes happen when there, when there are other, you know, other people with me and there's, I can't explain it.
That's why I keep using the word magic. You can't explain it.
It's magic. Ira Progoff, who created like one of the probably most groundbreaking approaches to journaling that's out there. There's a quote that's often attributed to him. Actually, if you read his book, it came from one of the participants in his sessions. But it talks about this being solitary work that we cannot do alone.
Ooh. Ooh, those are some good words.
Yeah. And can you do it alone? Yes, but it's not exactly the same.
I mean, for me, I don't think I would keep on doing it. You know, I think that's the only reason why I'm still doing this is because there are other people doing it too.
The magic of doing it in community.
Tell me that quote again. I just want to hear it again.
This is solitary work we cannot do alone.
Beautiful. Man, I think that is, I want to talk to you forever. You know that I always want to talk to you forever, but I think that's a really good place for us to stop. Get Messians. We've been speaking about Elaine's workshop the whole time. If you haven't yet seen it, it's inside the Get Messy library under workshops. And Elaine, can you tell us where we should go if we want to go to Joybook?
Yeah, it's just joybook.life.
Beautiful.
The address, Joybook Life Learning Community. And that that same workshop is also inside Joybook, along with loads of others.
Yeah. So if you want to dig into your journey, you should definitely definitely go to Chobok, and you can get more of Elaine, because this podcast episode is not enough to contain you. Thank you so much for the chat today. It was
wonderful. Kaylee, thank you so much. I so enjoyed this.